In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stevens Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred and Little Stevens Underground Garage, and it's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me today is Liam Caveney, producer and musician who worked with teen singer Havana Winter on her latest single, Hollywood Forever, which was recently remixed and reissued on Little Steven's Wonderwall label. It's also a recent coolest song in the world, and we'll hear a bit of it now, followed by my talk with Liam on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Happy birthday, Mr. President. I think there's been an incident. But that I'm at the head. Nothing but a shirt and tie. I guess he's just a silent type. I must have caught him by surprise. My vision's getting blurry. And I made some in a hurry.
Mighty Manfred here for your coolest conversations, and today I am chatting with Liam Caveney, musician and producer who's worked with Havana Winter and produced the original version of the singer's coolest song in the world this week, Hollywood Forever, recently reissued by Stevie Van Zandt's Wonderwall label. Hello, Liam. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing super good. How are you, man?
I'm doing pretty great. Very happy to be chatting with you. Now, I couldn't find a lot of stuff about you, bio stuff online, so I'm just asking here, where are you from?
Born and raised in Los Angeles, California.
Wow, homegrown in the City of Angels.
Yes, sir.
And whereabouts in town did you grow up at?
A little spot in Eagle Rock, technically, or it's Mount Washington. But yeah, I grew up at the bottom of the hill.
Wow, well, you see... This is extra cool. Because you may not be aware of this, Liam, but every day when I introduce my show, I say from the gentle slope of Mount Washington, Los Angeles, California.
Oh, that's great. It's perfect.
So it's all meant to be.
It's all meant to be.
What side? So I'm on the Cypress Park side of the mountain. What side of the mountain did you grow up on, or on top?
Bottom, like around the El Paso side.
Wow. You know, when I first moved out here, I lived on El Paso.
No way.
Yeah. Well, so to anybody that doesn't know what the heck we're talking about, so El Paso is a street.
All right. Open up Google Maps.
The pass. And it goes across, it's like this little, I don't know if you call it a valley, but a passway through Mount Washington.
Yeah.
Well, that is way, 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 way cool. Well, man, I looked online and I found your thing on Instagram as Uncle Lily, right? That's you.
Yeah, that's me.
That's you. And I've seen videos and reels of you like shredding on the guitar, right?
Yeah.
Shredding the guitar. So is guitar your first instrument?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
What got you playing guitar?
I come from a family of guitar players. My dad plays, a couple of my cousins play. But it was my uncle who really got me into it.
Well, you know, last week I was talking with this guy, it's a Boston band called the Shanghailos, and guitar player in there, Danny Kopka, really cool guy. And he was telling the story about he got into playing guitar because out behind his folks' house, they had a trailer, and his uncle lived in the trailer, and his uncle was kind of this Mop the Hoople kind of band at the time.
Yeah.
And that his brother, his uncle, taught him how to play guitar. So what was the relationship with your uncle? Was he living out in the trailer behind the house?
No trailer behind the house, but this is in the best way possible. He's like my crazy guitar uncle. He has over 60 guitars, a lot of which he keeps in storage. But as a kid, like family parties and stuff, he would always just be shredding. I'm half Irish, so he's on my Irish side.
Uh-huh.
And he would always just be shredding like Irish fiddle tunes and folk songs and stuff. And I was just kind of enamored and obsessed with that. So I started playing when I was 4.
Wow.
And I'm not as good as I should be for how long I've been playing, but you know, I'm trying here.
Well, you mentioned he's Irish in this sort of, he's doing this kind of folk music. So give me an idea of the rest of the household. 'Cause you mentioned there are other musicians in the family. What types of music was present in the household?
Oh yeah. So my dad is an amateur songwriter, or no, he's a professional songwriter, but he was a teacher by trade. But his claim to fame is that he wrote a song with Ry Cooder about 15 years ago. One of the best guitar players of our time.
Oh yeah. I've been very lucky. I was able to talk to him a couple of times, and we had a Ry Cooder Taj Mahal week.
Oh man.
About a year ago here on the channel.
I got to check that out.
You do.
I do. I got some.
So your dad wrote a song with Ry?
Yeah, he did.
What's the tune?
It's called Third Base Dodger Stadium, and it's off of Ry's record Chavez Ravine, which was about the community that was where Dodger Stadium is.
Oh, right.
And you know how they bought out the whole community and then built the stadium. And so my dad wrote the song and pitched it to Ry, and Ry loved it and it ended up making it on the record.
And what album is it on? Do you recall offhand?
The album's called Chavez Ravine.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
So one of the questions I wanted to ask has to do with your, how supportive was your parents, your family about your music interests and endeavors? So obviously, very supportive, right?
Yeah. I got lucky. I got real lucky.
So you start playing, gosh, as early as 4.
Yeah.
And do you play any other instruments as well?
I I play bass, and I'd say that my bass playing is pretty on par with my guitar playing. So that those are my two main instruments. I play a little drums, play a little piano, but guitar and bass, that's my two main things.
When you finished a high school, did you go to any type of music school after that, or
yeah,
or perhaps even for high school?
I went to USC and I studied guitar there.
And so was there ever any question about you pursuing music as a vocation, or is that something you had to kind of struggle with?
No, it was kind of always the plan. Growing up, I was skateboarding a lot, and
yeah,
I was really into that, but I started getting hurt a lot. So I was like, I had a reality check, you know?
You know, it's that gravity thing, man.
Yeah, I know that thing just messes us up, you know.
Well, let me add. There was years ago, I was doing a silly thing where before a show, I had tested out this curtain rod to make sure it would support my weight if I were to hang from it.
Okay.
And it did, but in the show, it did not. And as I swung forward, and I was coming and falling off the ceiling, I couldn't get my arms. I couldn't do anything to break my fall. And so people said to me afterwards, they were like, was it like in slow motion? And I said, I said, no, man, the ground moves really fast.
Yep.
Did you have, was there any particular tumble you took that was like the wake up call?
There were a couple towards the end. In high school, I tore a ligament off the top of my foot. And I was just waiting for a friend at a train station, you know, just like messing around on my skateboard, and it sounded like it was the loudest pop I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And then my foot was in excruciating pain. and that was that. And I was out for about 3 months. I was on crutches, and I just thought, I should maybe focus on music from now on. I don't know. It's a little less dangerous physically.
So you can really play. Do you consider yourself primarily a producer, though?
I'd say it's more of that now. The last 2 years, I've been really doing like a big career redirection, and I've just been working my way up in the writing and production world. So that's where I'm at now. But I mean, I'm still a guitar player. I try to shred every day and practice, you know. So I don't know. It's a little bit of both.
Well, let me ask again, when did you meet Havana, and how did you come to work on Hollywood Forever?
Yeah. So we did that song, me and Maya. Maya is one of the co-writers on that. We have the same manager. And we did that song over Zoom during the pandemic.
Huh.
And we both were just in love with the song. And it's still to this day one of my favorite songs that I've ever worked on. But we pitched it to somebody and they turned it down. Mm. And it just kind of sat around, and we were just really bummed about it. You know, I would listen to that song all the time, and I'm like, this song needs a home. It's so good.
No, so you made some kind of demo recording of it then initially, yeah, right, to pitch it. Yeah. And was Maya singing on the demo?
Maya sang the demo, yeah.
Okay.
And about 2 years later, Maya texts me and she's like, I got this great new up and coming artist. She loves Hollywood Forever. When can we track the vocals? And I was just ecstatic. I was like, yes, finally. So yeah, 2 years later, Havana came into the picture and just brought the song to life.
So did you work directly with Havana then?
I did, yeah. I tracked all the vocals. That's the first time I met her. It was mid last year sometime. And she killed the song, and really, yeah, she brought it to life. I'm so proud of it.
Now, let me ask, is she, you know, she's pretty young. Is she the youngest artist that you've worked with?
She's actually not. Close. She's second, I think.
Well, who's the youngest artist you've worked with?
So there's this other pop indie artist that I work with named Aviv. And I met her when she was 14, I think. And I worked on a couple songs on her first EP that came out last year.
So Havana, a little long of the tooth compared to her, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, are there any, let me ask this. So working with a younger artist, what are the pros and the cons to working with somebody that's pretty young?
Pros and cons. Well, I mean, pros, their perspective is totally different than mine, you know, and their creative process, stuff they write about, how they approach writing. Just because, I'm not even that old, but when I'm working with them, I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm a million years old. This is crazy.
How hard is it for you to put yourself in their frame of mind, right? Their perspective. Does that, like you were saying, you feel so old, but can you recall that age and trying to put yourself in that frame of mind?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely can. And I have two younger siblings. My youngest is my little sister. She's about to turn 19.
Oh, okay. So
I have a little bit of perspective into the Gen Z world. I'm not like totally removed. You know, I got them, my little brother and sister, for reference.
There's this, well, it's a 60s movie called Wild in the Streets. You ever heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I haven't seen it though.
Yeah. I'm trying to, there's some line in there about, you know, I'm sure most of our listeners know, but the gist of it is lowering the voting age, and this idea that if all the kids can vote, you know, they'll take over.
Yeah.
And like Shelley Winters is in it, and a cool soundtrack, the song on there, Shape of Things to Come. Yeah.
Oh, so, nice. Yeah. Cool. Check that out.
Barry Mann, Cynthia Wilde song. But so talking about songwriting, you mentioned Maya.
Yeah.
Having what I on the songwriting credits I was given, she's listed as Maya K, but what is her proper last name?
Kirchner, I believe.
Kirchner. So it's Maya Kirchner is listed. Yeah. This other guy, Carlos Rivera.
Yeah, Carlos is great.
Can you tell me something about Carlos?
Carlos. So I don't know Carlos too well. He's one of Maya's best friends. He is super positive, super energetic, and very flamboyant. And he just brings this really high energy to the room whenever I'm working with, like, we're just laughing, you know, just talking. Can I say shit? Sorry.
I guess you just did.
Sorry, man. You know, we're just like dishing it to each other back and forth, and like, just constant laughing when I'm with Carlos and Maya.
So when I spoke with Havana a few weeks ago, and we were talking about the Christmas song, she was talking about sort of being together with the writers in a room, and they were kind of bouncing off ideas. And now in this case, Maya had already had you and Maya had worked up the song initially. Is that right or not?
Yeah.
Okay. And so these like Carlos's input or even Havana's, that was after the fact or.
No. So actually Carlos was there with Maya over Zoom. Okay. Yeah. He was there from the beginning.
And who had the initial idea?
I think I came up with the main riff, which was that it's kind of like that Beatles-y sounding major minor type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent it to Maya, and she was like, "Yeah, I love that. Try some other chords with it." So I just worked up some progressions and then sent her just initially like a naked like guitar track.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where the idea was born, and we moved on from there.
And so she had the initial lyric idea?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about the changes that Little Steven has brought to the song's production and the mix?
Oh, I loved him. I thought that just like bringing Havana in, his input just took it to the next level. And now we have the final product.
Right. Well, when you heard that he was going to be involved with the song, you know, after you had finished it, was there any trepidation on your part? Like, oh, no, he's going to cut the hands off the Mona Lisa? Or what did you think initially?
No, not at all. And No disrespect, because this I love Lil Steven. You know, I was like, Silvio, let's go. This is amazing.
Very cool.
Yeah, I was open to all of it. I was like, yeah, whatever you want, man, let's go.
Yeah. Get the chance to interact with him directly at all?
No, not yet. And Lil Steven, if you're listening, take my number down. Let's grab a coffee.
Well, if you keep talking sweetly to me, we might set you up with that, you know. I said, set you up.
All
with
right.
That.
What are you doing later today?
Yeah. Well, just I got a radio show to do, I guess. I do have to do that.
I got to work, I guess.
I got to take that one box off.
Yeah.
So with this quote that I hear, here's a quote regarding Havana. It says, "Cultivating elements of her retro interests has allowed Havana to bring new life to them in the digital world. seems like she's always getting asked about these retro interests of hers that it seems like to me they're primarily cinematic sorts of things.
Yeah.
But do you think these retro interests really figure into her music?
Yeah, I would say so. Just the way she carries herself and the way her style, the way she dresses. And I mean, the music video for Hollywood Forever is pretty retro. You know, she's paying homage to that certain era that, you know, she really likes. And yeah, I think she's doing a great job of incorporating that into her music.
You know, I was looking at watching the video and it dawned on me when I had first seen it. It's like, oh yeah, Hollywood Forever. It's the cemetery.
Yeah.
And that has a double meaning, you know, of Hollywood forever, Hollywood in a cemetery. In case people listening aren't aware that is a cemetery here in Los Angeles. So her second single from last year is called Heaven to Me. And I recognize Maya's name being involved with the writing of that one. Did you have any hand in that?
I did not.
Right.
I wish I did.
Well, are there any other songs or projects that you'll be working on Havana with?
Yeah. I think we have two more songs that are supposed to come out later this year.
Can you tell us anything about them?
Yes, I can. So the first one is called Roseblood, and that track is like production wise, it's very Lana Del Rey, but I think it's like a little darker.
Yeah.
Which I really like. And that was with Maya as well. Maya is a straight cold killer. she's one of my favorite writers.
Yeah.
I love working with her. So that one's called Roseblood. And the second one is called Purgatory. So just by the names, you know, it's Havana has this kind of, I called her we were tracking vocals the other day and I said she reminded me of a darker Lana Del Rey.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, she's really falling into that vibe and that genre, and I love it.
And so the second one is Purgatory. And remind me again, what's the name of the next one to drop?
Roseblood.
Roseblood. And do you have any kind of timeline on when that might be?
I am not sure. I think Roseblood is going to come out first.
And now, will these also be in, will Little Stevie have a hand in any of this, or is this more your stuff?
I believe so. I think he always has some final notes and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, definitely he's got a hand in these two.
Very cool. What else do you have going on? Who else are you working with?
I still play a little bit. I play guitar for Noah Cyrus. And I'm her like touring music director and guitar player. We wrapped up an American tour in October, and we have a couple of festivals here and there starting up in around April, May. And so we're doing that. That's like the live part of my life, the live playing part. And production wise, I've been working with this Japanese girl group called Atarashi Gakko, and they're amazing. They're a totally different vibe and sound from Havana.
Are they based here or are they based overseas?
They're all from Japan,
but are they based here?
No, they all
okay. So they're living in Japan.
Yeah, they live in Tokyo.
And how did you wind up getting connected to them?
So one of my main production partners, his name is Lou Allday, and he recently signed a publishing deal with 88 Rising. They're a primarily Asian record label, and I work with him very closely. So we started working on this stuff like early last year.
Wow. And so does it give me an idea of, is it like, I mean, contemporary, like a contemporary girl pop kind of thing?
Definitely left to center. It's the music kind of sounds like early Gorillaz.
Wow.
Kind of, like the kind of like messy acoustic guitars and hip hop beats. And then you got four Asian girls like singing and screaming over it. And it's really high energy music, and it's awesome.
Wow, it sounds really cool. Well,
yeah,
keep an ear out for that. But right now I got to say, man, Liam, again, thanks so much for chatting with me on our Coolest Conversations.
Of course. Thanks for having me, man.
All right. We're going to take a listen now to Heaven to Me. It's Havana Winter in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Closest to God that I'll ever be. Like a holy bandit took my heart and branded your name onto me. I know you're no good, but I'll take your worst. Baby, it's just what I need. Oh, hell with you sounds like heaven.
To me, that was Havana Winter here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. The song is a single of hers from last year. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Havana's producer, Liam Kevany, for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. Philadelphia band The Tisberries, they've got a new album out now called Exile on Main Street, and joining me to talk all about it is the band's frontman, Tyler A.C. He's my guest for our next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.